Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Redmen TV. It is the match build-up show. Liverpool are in Boston and so am I, your host Paul Machin, with the main man himself, Mr. Chris Pajak.
Well, mate.
Heads up everyone, we've just had to turn the AC off to record this because it's dead noisy. It is warm. It's very, very warm. We braved a little walk out to try
little
and get some
walk.
Breakfast.
It was an hour yesterday.
Yeah, it was like 29 degrees at 9 o'clock this morning. It's going to get hotter. It's going to be interesting. We know Liverpool lost last night to Borussia Dortmund in South Bend in Notre Dame. I watched the game largely on the telly, and though, because I couldn't hack the pace, I haven't had no sleep. You watched it half cut in the pub. We've watched it back since. It's really interesting, Chris, because I think so much of what we saw will inform what we see at Fenway Park on
Absolutely.
Sunday. Liverpool versus Sevilla. You kind of hypothesised this, I think, in the build-up to that game, that we're not going to see any more of these 45 minutes. Two teams over 45 minutes. We're starting to build in the serious stuff now. We saw a mass changes, 10 substitutions on 60 minutes. I imagine we'll probably see exactly the same, so the teams will invert for this
game. I think so, yeah. I did. I hypothesised that would be the case. It's what Klopp's done in his pre-season so far. It's nothing really clever there. You just have to look back and see that's what he likes to do. Especially with the heat and stuff, really working them in that 60-minute period in the heat. Also, there's only a couple of days. It's less than 48 hours, actually, between games, mm-hmm. isn't it? So, you know, the team that did 30 minutes will do 60 minutes, and essentially you've done 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It just spread over 2 days, which is better for their fitness, I think so. Yeah, I imagine the team that sort of finished against Dortmund will be the team that starts. The people in Fenway are going to love that because that's the team with Virgil van Dijk and Jordan Henderson
Absolutely.
And players like that in. So I think they'll enjoy that. And I think if you had a thought about it beforehand, you probably would have guessed the big guns would be coming in Fenway in FSG's backyard, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
It was interesting watching that second half when that team come on. Because
they won 1-0.
Well, the first half, yeah. The first half... The first half team I thought performed really well, created a number of really good chances, but there's just something when you start to get as much of your back five together as possible, and obviously we know Alisson's still a little bit away. Mignolet was fine, by the way, but seeing Andy Robertson on the pitch, seeing Jordan Henderson on the pitch, Gini, Virgil van Dijk, as you mentioned, the likes of Trent. Even though it was actually a pretty good back line, you know, we saw the likes of Fabinho in the first half. There's a great sense of satisfaction, you're right, from that. And you, particularly, you've seen already, people go mad for Virgil over here. He's going to get an amazing reception. I wonder whether they will do something, whether it'll be as simple as the exact same teams, or he might tweak it, because he has tweaked the centre-back pairings a lot in pre-season, particularly last year. We saw everyone kind of paired with everyone. We haven't seen Gomez and Van Dijk together yet.
From the game, you know, against Dortmund, the really interesting thing for me, and again, it's something we talked about a few weeks ago, is if Virgil was to pick up an injury, who's your backup left centre-half?
Yeah.
So I found it really interesting that it was Gomez. I thought it would be, but to have it confirmed, and that's, confirmed in pre-season,
sure.
goes in inverted commas.
Because we've seen Lovren play there already as well.
Oh, last season I was sat there in, I can't remember what game it was, did we play Burnley? Somebody beginning with a B.
We played Burnley twice because they're in the same league.
No, in pre-season last season, and Fabinho made his debut, and we were all talking about how he was dropping in from the DM between the centre halves, and Klopp came out and went, "That's not what we wanted to
Chester.
Do." No, not the Chester game. No, it was another one.
Berry.
Berry. Very. It was that one.
Yeah.
And Klopp, I planned the stats and tactics around it. I was like, on my way home, I was thinking, right, okay, well, I can do something about that for the website.
Like,
and then the press conference is, that's not what we want him to do. That's not, but that's what Monaco do.
Yeah.
So read into it what you will, essentially. But Joe Gomez did start left side of centre half.
I got exactly the same thought watching that match. Just there's those moments. There's one moment where he's forced to track in and he just basically pours the speed on, covers the ground, and he makes it no problem. And it was a proper Virgil thing to do. It was just like casual until the point where you have to switch on. And then he switched on and made it a no problem situation at all.
It's kind of what he did last season. You know, he was doing that for Virgil. People, I think, forget sometimes at the end of the season they were taking in turns to cover for each other.
I think he is. And we said it at times. You know, there was one game when Virgil didn't play, and we talked about Gomez doing like a mini. What are you doing?
I'm laughing at the fly and wondering whether that's going to show up behind the curtain on the show.
Probably not.
No one would have noticed it.
No, the doing a mini Virgil impression, you know what I mean? And we talked about them. He is probably the heir apparent. Because bringing Seth Vandenberg in, who we still don't know if we're going to see. He'll be at the press conference later. Hopefully we'll get that confirmed. We know he's training there. We think of the big, tall, commanding guy as always being the left side centre-half. And that was my initial thought when he came in. But you just don't know, do you? If Gomez carries the same temperament and has more Virgil, like, all-round footballing qualities, which he certainly does in terms of his calm and possession as well, that might be something that we're long-term... Because, look, let's be honest, how do you go and find the next Virgil van Dijk?
I've no idea. Yeah. I think it was hard enough for us to find Virgil. We knew where he was. It's a weird thing what you just said there about that left side that turns out being that commander one, because I've always felt like that. And maybe it's Footy Manager, maybe it's Champ Manager, maybe it's Sammy Ipia and on show, you know what I mean? But there's no reason that you can't just have both of them being like that. And that's what at times last season Gomez and Virgil were doing.
And Matip.
Clearly a leader.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's so hard to get a world-class centre-half that you'd always seem to have one that's slightly better than the other. We might be in a position in 3 years' time when Van Dijk and Gomez are just level.
Well, this is just you're right, is that footy's moved on, and in terms of how you play the game, you know, we're not far from moving. We were watching a Daniel Klein play yesterday, and he's a very, very good right back, but he's just not in the same level as Trent in terms of his all-round ability to play footy, and Andy Robbo as well. And you're right, and maybe this is just because of how good we are and where we are now, is that because Virgil can do everything. He can do it. And why have one guy who's dead good in the air and dead cool and composed and have another guy who does all the scrappy bits and pieces when you can get two to do all,
really,
do all
exactly.
of it?
Yeah. It's just, I think it's just so hard to find that. That's why you always end up in that situation.
Completely agree. But you know, it's an interesting one. The ones that stood out and the ones I'm therefore still interested once again to see at Fenway on Sunday, Kent and Wilson, they're going to be the perennial talking points, I think, throughout the whole pre-season, because you can tell the significant difference, but it almost doesn't matter which team Liverpool put out, because the front three is the major miss this pre-season. Like, you know, it was great seeing Virgil and Robbo and Trent, as I mentioned earlier, but you know, when you're seeing the teams out in the first half, it's fine. It's that you're still waiting to see those lads from the front three. And we'll talk about Brewster in a minute because he's definitely worth still talking about. But I thought it was good from a Kent and Wilson perspective, particularly Harry Wilson, when that ball drops to him for his goal, you know it's going in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does.
And now he's a great finisher, absolutely great finisher. You know, he's known for his outside of the box strikes, isn't he? Certainly last season and before that. But you know, the touch and the finish—it's just—it had a coolness and a calmness to it that I always think great strikers make it look easy. And Robbie Fowler used to talk about passing the ball into the net, and that's all that Harry Wilson did. He just took the ball and passed it into the corner where the keeper wasn't. Sometimes I think people overcomplicate stuff. It's a freaking big goal, a football goal. Like, and if you're one-on-one, you really should be banging it away. But I knew that one was going.
Well, it's but the thing is, though, not to undersell it, because the reaction time he has, even just if the ball was coming, and it does come straight from Fabinho.
But he might have thought Kent was getting it.
Exactly. The step over from Kent, from the ball, his visibility and his reaction to it, to take that touch, the touch makes it. gives him the ability to open his body and put him in there. So really, really, really good quality. And once again, Ryan Kent, I'm sat here again for like the third preseason on a row. It might even be more at this point. And I don't know what else you really have to do. I'm not saying, you know, he's not good enough to come in and you're not going, right, it's Old Trafford, sorry, Sadio, because Ryan Kent's better than you. That's not the case at all. But in terms of having another lad, he constantly causes problems. He's always taking his man, he's always beating his man. He's getting into the box, he's creative, he likes play. He's having another really, really good pre-season. And maybe it's the thing, I think it was a point you mentioned again early on in the week about how he's made it to this level now. He's now on the tour. Maybe this is his good opportunity to shine or whatever, but I can't see much more that he needs. Maybe a goal or two, but
it's the end product, I think, with him. I really do. And you know, he gets the assist for me for Wilson's without touching the ball, you know what I mean? Because it makes the goal.
Yeah.
So there's end product. Funny, he didn't touch it, but you get my point. Like, all the things that you just said are right, but when he gets into that final third, we're not scoring enough from those opportunities, and I think that's probably the difference between him and Sadio.
But again, I mean, maybe him not scoring enough is one thing, of course. But this is the problem with judging the front three. I mean, we'll talk about Brewster because Brewster's the exception to this, and maybe that's just the difference. Is that, you know, good players find goals no matter what the circumstances. But you know, it must be quite difficult to shine because we rely so heavily on the goal. All our goals come from the front three, by and large. You know, we start to see a couple trickle in. Obviously, Virgil added a few. Henderson got a couple toward the back end of the season. But we are so reliant on everything coming from those lads, and with the drop off of quality being so much, you wonder whether if you just put Salah and Firmino in there with Kent,
maybe
would he be fine? We just don't know.
I know it's such a difficult one because you know, I've said all pre-season, I think Kent will be sold. I really do, but from what he's doing on the pitch and what he's given this pre-season so far, that might be a bit sly. You know, and especially with what you're saying about them not playing with the other lads, he's doing his best, and at the moment his best looks pretty good. Will he cut the mustard in the Premier League? I don't know.
He doesn't look like a kid, does he? And I think what's
he doesn't look out of place.
No. And what's interesting, though, you can tell the only thing to caveat all this with, when you look at Oxlade-Chamberlain's performance, and there's a basic borderline world-class player, and you know, the truly, truly top-quality players always look streets better than the level of football they're playing at. No, particularly when you get to this kind of level. I thought Ox was brilliant and very, very encouraging to see in that regard. But Brewster then, if nothing else, that penalty.
Jamie Carragher-esque.
he just wellies it into the top bin. The steely, like, determination in the build-up to it as well. I'm so excited to watch him play. And that's one other thing for this game on Sunday. If he gets that 60 minutes, big chance to shine. You know, he's going to be, you know, at Fenway in front of all the ownership, all that kind of thing. This is that chance. And what we saw with the Dortmund game, real step up in quality of opposition. We'll see a similar sort of level, probably not quite the same level of Sevilla, but you know, again, a very good quality experience.
We'll see a pitch that's better for us than the game that we played on. I mean, it was terrible.
I'm not sure we necessarily will see that because it's a baseball field.
No, but
it's
I mean, pitch. Like, Notre Dame was laid the day before.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have time to have bedded in and all that type of stuff. It's going to be real grass that's been there a little while.
Yeah.
It's got a significant advantage on Notre Dame's grass. So hopefully we'll see a better game and we'll be able to pass the ball and fizz the ball around a little bit more because it looked sticky.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many passes just sticking in the weeds, as it were. So, yeah, I mean, look, if Brewster gets on the end of things, it's telling, isn't it, that he's been on a lot of these tour posters and you see him in more of this sort of media stuff.
Well, all of the third kit's just been released today, hasn't it? And he's in the photographs for that. He probably should have had his hair cut before he did that. We've all been there.
He's waiting for his medal to get his hair cut, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's Yeah, good, but really encouraging. I think, you know, obviously 4 goals in 3 games is not to be sniffed at. And I don't think any of them are, like, you know, goals to write home about, but I really like that. And by the same notion, you know, if he was sticking worldies in at the top, I mean, it could do with one of them, maybe just to be like, go ahead, I can also do
I'm totally this, fine with him knocking the ball in from 3 yards, yeah, or taking pens, you know, because that's what good strikers do.
The penalty,
you know,
the best
Sergio Aguero, rightly lauded as one of the best strikers of the last 10 years, and you remember him, you know, twatting the ball in the back of the net. He picks far more just 2 yard passes into the net up, yeah, than you think, like, yeah, and that's what great strikers do.
I like the fact that he took the penalty, because it's another one of those things, you know, having a penalty taker. If we've got a lad, I mean, look, he's not going to play loads of games this season, you know, barring, you know, if everyone's fit, he's just not. It's the way it is. But I like that. I like it goes back to, like, Robbie Fowler, as you might have name checked him before, but a great penalty taker as well as a great centre forward. It adds something to you, I think, when you've got a lad there, because we just haven't got that. Like, Fabinho's apparently a penalty taker, but we've not seen.
I want strikers to be my penalty taker, yeah, and it's so strange that
it's easy to get 30 goals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Firmino's taken a few for us,
and he's fucking rubbish at them.
Yeah, but you know, Milner's the one you feel most comfortable with. But yeah, having a striker who is going to take penalties, it just feels right. Why wouldn't it? But Milner's, you want them to be the best finishers, yeah, in pressure situations.
Milner's not gonna. He's just not gonna be on the field, is he? You know, and that's the issue. You end up with Mo Salah taking them, and look, for all the will in the world, and his returns, he's got a pretty good record actually of taking pens, but he's not a penalty taker the same way that, you know, you see it. He's great to have an issue,
you know. I think if there's a lad who's always going to play,
yeah,
he's got it in his locker, like.
Yeah, it stands to reason that the centre forward, I never understood why Daniel Sturridge wasn't better at pens. Yeah. For someone who's so good at putting the ball in the parts of the goal where you're most likely to get it.
It's mad though, but you think to yourself, bearing down on the keeper, pressure situation, ball at your feet, what's the difference, yeah, in a penalty? It's mad, but yeah, yeah, Brewster can do it. Brilliant. Another sort of arrow in his fucking whatever.
Quiver.
There you go.
I wasn't sure where you're going with that, but I feel like you nailed it. Yeah, right. We're gonna wrap it up there. But yeah, as I said, be interested to see what happens. We're gonna be at the press conference and the open training on Saturday evening, so we'll have some stuff for you. That'll be coming out very, very late UK time. So probably check that out Sunday morning for the guys back home. But yeah, really looking forward to sweltering and watching a bit of Mighty Reds action. Let us know your thoughts. What teams you want to see? Who's impressed you so far in pre-season? In the comments or by tweeting at the Redmen TV. Yeah, if you want more great content and coverage, go to theredmentv.com. Sign up if you want all the latest on all the transfer stuff. We've got 2 Reds transfer roundup shows from the last week just gone out, and the summer football show talking about all the transfers, major happenings in and out across world football. They are there for your general perusal. Thank you for watching and for listening. We'll see you all soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.